everybody. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Allie.
And welcome back to Killer Conversations, a podcast where we awkwardly talk about murder and all that fun stuff. That's right. That fun stuff. So we have another case for you. I don't have any housekeeping stuff this time. If I do, I'll post another update.
I think we're doing good.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about what I call the bully murder. And so, again, I'm staying local because apparently that's my thing for right now. So I'm thinking about branching out, but, you know, like for right now. I know, right? But not this week. So anyway, maybe next week. This is the bully murder, or the murder of Ken Rex McElroy. This story begins in the 1960s in Skidmore, Missouri, which is a small town about 45 minutes north of St. Joseph. So if you are not from the Midwest and you don't measure things in minutes, like, you know, we do, that's around 45 miles, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but we kind of measure things by like how long it takes to get there. So if you're in St. Joe and you drive, you'll probably be there in 45 minutes. So anyway, enough about that. So in the 1960s in Skidmore, Missouri, Ken McElroy was a resident of the small town of Skidmore and was known as the town bully, the town boogeyman, the self-imposed town dictator who treated Skidmore like his own personal kingdom, literally raping and pillaging for two decades, according to Mike Moran of the Confessional podcast. So according to Mike Moran of the Confessional podcast, he was just like the worst, the absolute worst.
I wonder how he had so much power over these people. Like, was he just like, oh yeah, I own you guys? Or were they all like, hey, he's kind of spooky, maybe we should listen to him? Like, what, like, started him being such a jerk?
I don't know. It must be just like, once you get away with something, and then maybe you get away with something again, and then you get away with something again, it just kind of like steamrolls.
Oh, like serial killers, like getting really full of themselves and like getting cocky and like leaving stuff behind. Is that what we're talking about?
Maybe like you know, you murder your first person and then it's like, well, I didn't get caught and that was relatively easy, so I'll do it again. I don't know. I haven't killed anyone, but
well,
maybe
I mean, you said you think about it.
Well, who doesn't? But anyway,
I guess that's true. But
I mean, like every once in a while, I mean, you watch enough TV and you have to be like, well, why would that person do that? That was like so dumb. Like anyway, So he was known as this like horrible guy. So McElroy, he stole from local farmers and businesses. He assaulted men and women. He committed rape and statutory rape, which is like the worst kind of rape, and basically made everybody's lives miserable. He was indicted 21 times for various crimes, but was only convicted once. He was accused of child molestation, arson, statutory rape, cattle rustling, burglary, and shooting two people, and he got away with most of it.
Cattle rustling is just such a funny thing to throw in there. Like, everything
is statutory rape and cattle rustling.
I know, everything's like crazy, like super serious, and then you're just like, he killed two people, oh, he raped a couple people, and he cattle rustled.
Well, I mean, that's a big deal in northern Missouri. I mean, cows are like important, they're a livelihood. What?
It's just like such like a not serious sounding thing to like group in there.
So in addition to cattle rustling and burglary and all this stuff, he was accused of all of these things, including the rape of 12-year-old Trina McLeod. So he raped her repeatedly, resulting in her pregnancy.
Oh.
Yeah. McElroy then divorced his wife and went to marry Trina to avoid statutory rape charges.
Oh my word. It's not like he's getting charged with anything anyways.
Right. Everybody knew that this was going on, I guess. And like her parents knew, and their parents were obviously not cool with this whole thing. And so he ended up divorcing his wife, marrying this girl, because obviously she's pregnant. So there's evidence that she's been sexually active. And her family was like, no, we disapprove of this relationship.
As they should.
And, you know, when you're 12 and something happens, like, your brain is not able to process this. So I'm wondering if she, like, married him because, obviously because she felt like she had to, but at the same time, like Stockholm Syndrome or something. Mm. Like, she felt like she had to, like, she didn't have a choice. Or, like, that she loved him or, like, he must love her because all the gross stuff. Anyway, so her parents obviously disapproved of the relationship, as they should have, but later allowed the marriage after McElroy burned their house down and shot their family dog. So they were like, no, you can't marry our daughter. Like, this is a no-no. And then they were like, we're not going to let this happen. And then he goes and burns their freaking house to the ground and shoots their dog. I mean, the house thing I can forgive, maybe, but the dog? Oh. I'm just kidding.
But seriously, though, like, arson, but at least he's not cattle rustling.
Cattle rustling and dog murderer.
That's terrible.
Because he did that.
You should get the death sentence for that.
Oh my gosh, really? Like, it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave the dogs alone. And all pets.
Just
leave the pets alone.
Screw the houses. No one cares about the houses.
I mean, you can rebuild a house. You can't rebuild a dog.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That should be the name of this podcast.
You can rebuild a house. You can't rebuild a dog.
Remember that, future me. Every time McElroy was implicated in a crime, he would terrorize the citizens of this town, intimidate all the witnesses, threaten people into dropping the charges, or forgetting their testimony altogether. So making sure that they forgot their testimony. He was finally convicted of attempted murder in 1981 in the shooting of the town's 70-year-old grocer, Ernest Beau Bowenkamp. McElroy successfully appealed the conviction and was released on bond, after which he began to harass the townspeople by waiting outside people's houses with a gun and threatening them repeatedly.
You're freaking kidding. And no one was just like, oh, this is kind of a red flag. Like, no law enforcement was like, oh, he's okay.
It's another one of these small town things.
I hate small towns.
Well, I think small towns, like, especially back before people were more connected with the rest of the world, like, that was your life, right?
Ugh, I mean, that probably sounds awful.
But you probably didn't like go into the big city or whatever, and you didn't see what life was like outside of your town. You just kind of thought, well, this guy is a bully, and this guy is getting away with everything, and this is just kind of how it is, which sucks. And
that does suck.
I mean, I'm not cool with it, obviously. But
yeah, no.
So anyway, he just would, after he got out of jail for shooting the 70-year-old guy, he just like harassed the town, just staring at them and just being like a complete and total like jerk face. Obviously, people in this town were just done. They were just over everything. They were sick and tired of this dude just terrorizing their lives and every aspect of their lives. And then this is where things get bananas.
Absolutely bananas.
Absolutely bananas. Like, not that they weren't already bananas, but this is where things go completely bananas. So on the morning of July 10th, 1981, the townspeople met at the Legion Hall in the center of town with the sheriff to discuss how they would protect themselves. While the townspeople were having the meeting, McElroy showed up at the D&G Tavern in town with his wife, Trina, the 12-year-old, who's, you know, not 12 anymore because it's been like 20 years, but still.
Still not okay.
Still not okay. So while he was there, the townspeople got word that McElroy was in town. Sheriff Estes, who was the sheriff, told...
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He was the sheriff. The sheriff, the town sheriff, Estes.
I thought he was the town
janitor. Who was
janitor.
The sheriff.
That's crazy.
By the way, he was the sheriff. Sheriff Estes told the townspeople that they should not get into a direct confrontation with McElroy, but that they should form a neighborhood watch program. So don't go fight him.
The neighborhood watch program.
Do not get in confrontation with this guy. Just do a neighborhood watch program. It's going to be fine. And then the sheriff, Sheriff Estes, gets in his police vehicle. I don't know if it was a truck or a car or a Jeep or whatever. Gets in his police-issued vehicle and scoots his butt out of town.
That's funny. He's like, well, you guys are going to do something, so I'm going to leave.
He's like, no, don't do anything. Like, wink, wink. But
if you do something,
I'm not gonna be here. Yeah, I'm not gonna be here.
I'd rather you do it when I'm not here.
So he just
saying.
He just up and leaves. Up and leaves town, even though everybody was all riled up and he knew it. They were all riled up, but he knew it, and he was just like, no, I got
peace out, Girl Scout.
Yeah, I just gotta go. Like, whatever. So after the sheriff left, the people decided to go to the tavern together. Of course. Because they're all riled up.
They're all gonna jump in.
So the bar fills up And McElroy finishes his drinks and bought a 6-pack of beer and then left the bar and got into his pickup truck. So he was drinking. He was doing some day drinking, I'm guessing. Oh, in the morning. Yeah. So he was doing day drinking.
That's, first of all, you cannot get in the car after you've been drinking. So that's, well,
apparently
his fault.
You can in Skidmore.
Okay. Nope. That's his fault.
So he, and then he buys more beer for later. So, yeah. And then he gets in his truck with Trina, his wife.
Was she in the bar with him or was she waiting?
She was in the bar. I don't know. They said that he was at the tavern with his wife, but I don't know if like he was with her in the tavern or like she was there in the truck. Anyway, while he was sitting in his truck, someone shot at McElroy and he was shot several times and hit twice. Once by a center fire rifle and once by a rim fire rifle. No one called an ambulance.
I mean, who would? I wouldn't.
I mean, at all. No one called an ambulance at all. Not even, like, waited 10 minutes and called an ambulance. Like, nobody called an ambulance. Period, I guess.
Yeah, you just leave so then no one knows you're involved. You just peace out.
But somehow, there were 46 potential witnesses to the murder, including his wife, who was also in the truck when he got shot. So he was definitely targeted.
As he should be.
As he should be, but I'm not one to judge, but, like, seriously, I understand. Understandable.
Judging.
Okay. And he was definitely targeted because he was the only one who was shot. His wife was fine, but he died. However, there were 46 potential witnesses to the murder, including his wife, but no one saw anything. Quote.
His wife didn't see anything?
Well, except Trina. Oh. But, like, none of the 46 witnesses saw anything.
She's so brainwashed. I just feel so bad for her. Right?
Trina, however, claimed that the gunman was a man named Del Clement, but no one would admit to the murder and didn't claim to have seen anything. The DA declined to press charges, and the attitude of the townspeople was described by journalist Steve Boer as he needed killing.
He did.
So the DA was like, I'm not going to press charges, even though his wife says, oh, this Dell dude or Mr. Clement or whatever shot my husband. And he's like, bah.
But did he really?
I mean, everybody else says that nobody did it. So obviously, like, eh. And the whole town was like, well, he needed it. I know that there's, like, other stuff. Like, she tried to sue the town and stuff.
The
Trina
whole
did.
Town?
Yeah, for, like. Well, she tried to sue the sheriff, actually, because...
I don't think he did anything wrong,
right?
Really.
Because nobody, quote-unquote, did anything about her husband's murder, and, like... Yeah, so this whole town just, like, got sick of somebody's crap, and...
It's just, like, a town secret.
Yeah,
I love this, that.
I do kind of love that.
It's like a movie.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think there might be a movie...
I think there is. I was trying to find it on Netflix the other day.
Let me scoot to the interwebs.
The intrawebs.
And see if I can find it. But, like, yeah, it does. It's like a plot of a movie, but it, like, really happened. And so all these people just decided to just, we're sick and tired of this dude. We're just going to take it into our own hands. We're going to do what we have to do. And we're not going to take his crap anymore and just be done with it. Which is,
I think it's valid.
Kind of amazing, actually.
I mean, like, if they didn't do anything, he was going to keep doing all this stuff. So there's really no point in not doing anything.
Right.
Dad's not calling the cops.
I like how I typed it in. I was like, movie about Skidmore. But then it was like, movie about Skinwalkers? I'm like, no.
Oh, you can't say it. You're not supposed to say it.
Oh, no. I'll be fine.
If you get
in
your
broad
skin
daylight.
Stolen.
It's called In Broad Daylight, guys. So if you want to watch the movie, it's In Broad Daylight. Yeah.
I can't believe you just said that.
I think you'll be fine.
Unless I don't come to school tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, you'll be fine. So there have been several, like, movie adaptations and stuff of this.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear his wife's side of the story and, like, what she thinks about all this. Like, I don't know. I just feel like she's, like, one of the main victims, but she's still standing up for him, you know? It just doesn't really...
I wonder if she ever really came around to the fact that, like, she was married to a, like...
A douchebag.
Yes. Like, a not-so-nice guy. Like,
that's better to say.
So, like...
Sorry, Mom.
I want... Sorry, Allie's mom.
Sorry, Mom.
So, like, I wonder if she ever finally came around to the fact that she was married to a guy who took advantage of her as a child.
I know.
And then the only reason she was able to marry him was because he burned down her parents' house.
And shot their dog.
And shot their dog, which is inexcusable.
Literally.
Inexcusable. So, I don't know. I mean, that would be really interesting to hear from her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when we talk about these things, like, on our podcast, we talk about the victims and, like, the killers and how the killers are, like, crazy and they've lost their minds. But I find this story to be super relatable.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I came from a small town. I can't really, like, I don't think it was as small as Skidmore because I'm not really sure how big Skidmore is. But I can't see my small town rallying together, I guess, to take out one person, but I can see a small town doing it.
Do you see this small town doing it?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I can. Yeah. I can.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's saying anything. But I wonder if they would have been able to keep that secret now. Because this was in the 80s, right? There's no social media, there's no internet, there's no cell phones. And I wonder if this were to happen, like, somebody would have to run their mouth off, right? Everybody runs their mouth off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody would say something.
Maybe these people just hated him so much. They were like, we're going to kill this son of a gun and we're going to get away with this because that's how terrible he is. And I think everybody just, like, realized that together. They were like, he's a piece of crap and we are all done with him. And so they were like, yeah, no one, shh, keep it hush hush, keep it on the DL.
Do you think that people would blab today, though? I mean, I understand that mindset and I understand that, but, like, in the 80s, like, if somebody said something to somebody, nobody's, like, really recording stuff. Nobody's, you know, capturing video on their phone of somebody being like, hey, remember that time when we went outside the bar and we, like, shot this guy's truck up? Like, you know, somebody's bound to slip.
Yeah. I just think feel people, like, he's such a bad guy. That,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
And I don't also know. How much trouble can you really get in for killing a guy who rapes and shoots people and commits arson and
cow rustling?
Oh, my word.
I mean, the fact that he got away with so much, like, and I'm with you.
How?
Like,
how did he get away with,
like, what did he have on these people? Was he just
whose house did he have to burn down?
In addition to his wife's parents, but, like,
and the dog.
But how, like, did he have dirt on the people who have importance in town? Or did he, like, just, was he just, like, a super awful dude? And
what does he look like? If he looks like that guy from Dennis the Menace, then I honestly understand why they were scared of him. But, like, if he just looks like a regular guy.
I think he just looks like a regular guy, but.
Does he really?
I'll look it up. Let's go to the Wikipedia page.
I love the Wikipedia.
Yeah. Those eyebrows.
Yeah, I'd be scared of him, too. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah, he's creepy. Oh, look. He's holding a child in this one. That's really great. That's exactly what you want to see.
Also, he had, like, a bunch of kids with a bunch of people.
He's creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look. This one, he's posing with a dog. I wonder if that was his dog or not. Maybe that was one who's threatened. Oh, look, there's another one of him with a dog. This is terrible. This is torture.
Yeah. So he fathered more than 10 children.
Jeez.
With different women.
Different women?
Yeah.
He's getting around.
He married Trina in order to escape charges of statutory rape, to which she was the only witness. And after Trina gave birth to the baby she was pregnant with, she and the baby fled to Trina's mother and stepfather's house, and that's when he tracked them down to bring them back. And then he returned and burned the house down and killed the dog.
Oh, I thought it was like a thing where, like, the parents said no, and then he burned the house down. Well,
and that's what I read in an article, but then that's what I read on that particular website. So there's two different stories.
don't know.
Either way, he burned his wife's parents' house down.
And shot the dog.
So
he's in hell.
Right. That is the story of the bully murder. Not the bully murderer, but the bully murder. The murder of the bully.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that's just another local story we've got. And so we're going to break this up into two segments. So Allie's going to lead us on the next segment that we will post next time.
Yay.
Yay. So thank you guys so much for listening. Keep listening. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. You know, do all that fun social media stuff. Follow us on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You didn't even tell me about our Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
There was like 10 different people at school following it before me. And I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry. I was like, maybe we should social media. And so I made.
Let's social media and then not tell the co-host.
Not tell the co-host. Yeah, my bad. So sorry, Allie.
I found out eventually. It's okay.
It's cool. It's cool. Cool. Good. Anyway.
It's bussin'.
So follow us on Instagram. It's Podcast Killer Conversations on Instagram.
The app, Instagram, if you didn't get that.
Instagram, the app, the application, app. And yeah, just let us know. Thanks for following us if you've already followed us. And I'm just rambling now.
Gotta make the episode a little longer,
and there's a lot of time in there where we're like, oh, let me Google that.
We could have made so many more cattle rustling jokes.
Oh my gosh, I know.
How do you even do that?
What, cattle rustle?
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking like WWE.
No, you don't, it's not wrestling.
Oh,
it's
what
not
is
cattle
it?
Wrestling. Like, you don't what do you wrestle do? The cattle. You
steal
cows.
Their milk?
Oh, you steal the cattle. How do you even steal cows?
Like,
what?
You wrestle them. You, like, herd them into,
like,
a trucker.
Do you, like put
trucker.
Them in your pocket?
No, you don't put them in your pocket. They're big. You.
That's what I'm confused.
No. You take them and you, like, herd them into, like, a truck or something, and then you steal them.
He did have a truck. I saw that in a picture.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, you do not cattle wrestle.
I
oh
thought
my God.
Wrestling in, like, the Russell. Fancy, like, bedazzled underwear, and you're like.
No, there's you know? Not WWE with cows.
Give him the flying knee.
Why would he go to jail for that?
No. Was it animal like, abuse.
I think the cow could probably take him. They're kind of huge.
Maybe. He'd probably just shoot it like he does everything else. Set it on fire.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
But also, he's I love the fact that you thought it was wrestling. Cattle wrestling.
That's what I thought he was doing.
Oh my gosh, that's like another good name for the podcast.
WWE too. Smackdown on them cows.
WWE Smackdown Cow Edition. Like,
that's what I thought I was doing.
Oh my gosh.
And then stealing them? How do you even steal a cow? That's crazy.
What do you do? Put him in his pocket?
He probably did!
I can't even.
He can get away with so much.
Oh my gosh.
How do you steal cows? That's so weird.
You put him in your pocket!
You cut it out.
That's gonna be a t-shirt. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. I hope you enjoyed that cow wrestling commentary. See you next time.